The Lakers have obviously lost the plot. I mean, is this about building a championship contender or another Hollywood script? Can't tell at this point.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I, for one, am always on board with a dad doing a nice thing for his son. I'm obviously... been calling Bronny James to the Lakers for a while now. Plus, the J.J. Redick hiring doesn't bother me at all. Like, if the Lakers want that guy, if they think he can be their next quote-unquote Pat Riley, so be it. And by the way, if J.J. Redick's plans are to become the next Pat Riley, I really hope he's taking notes. I mean, saw the big signing the Miami Heat got. Pat Riley at work. Alec Burks in the crib. Championship season in Biscayne Boulevard. I don't know. But for the Lakers, I'm obviously curious right now, right? They've had our attention since they've started flirting these headlines out there, since LeBron James had his podcast going with J.J. Redick. They have made sure to stay in the spotlight and to stay in the front of all of our minds. But the problem, the thing that's been racking my own brain is, what the heck is the plot? What the heck is the point of all of this for the Lakers? And also, as we learned today that LeBron James inks his big max contract, 2 years, a 1+1, as well as Bronny James signing it on the very same day. I wonder how they were able to orchestrate that. Oh, yeah, they have the same agent. And also, I guess, the same last name. It works out that way. I really wonder what the actual angle is here. What LeBron James, the Los Angeles Lakers, their brass, as well as his camp, believe can happen for the Lakers. We're going to learn a lot more about that based on the rest of this offseason for them. But based off of these contracts and the way that they were reported, it doesn't feel like this has anything to do with winning, with actual winning and chasing the 18th championship to try and tie the Boston Celtics and also further solidify LeBron James's legacy. And it feels like it has more to do with the next chapter of the inevitable LeBron documentary, which I'll be, you know, front and center, right in line to watch it. Theoretically speaking, here on a Wednesday, July 3rd, and it is a packed show today. Per usual, we got Mike Tannenbaum joining us later to talk some NFL. I got some questions around Daniel Jones and those New York Giants, who, speaking of making a Hollywood script, I'm all in on Hard Knocks during the offseason. This is going to be my favorite Hard Knocks. I'm not a huge preseason guy. I'm not a huge fan of the traditional Hard Knocks. Definitely not really as locked in the in-season one that the Miami Dolphins had last year. But in the offseason, watching the general manager and the front office talk about trades and transactions, I'm a little bit stoked for that. July 4th tomorrow, a lot of big plans going on around here. C-Cat, who's on the ones and twos, carrying it with me through 6 o'clock. Do you have any big plans for Independence Day? Are you kicking it? Are you hopping on the grill? Are you just getting a couple glizzies in your hand, maybe a 5-piece like you were talking about last week, and going after it? Like, what's your plans?
The 5-piece that we're referencing is, how many hot dogs do you think you can hold in one hand? With bun and wiener, how many could you hold in one hand? At 5, I think, is the max. But yeah, taking a flight up to New York tomorrow morning, then going to Pennsylvania, seeing some college friends, going to Yankees Red Sox on Sunday night. A lot of stuff going on, man.
Yeah, that's way too much. Like, take it easy. I know we get 4 days here, but just take it easy, man. Like, get some rest. We've been working hard.
You're taking a flight, too. Like, you're out of town almost every weekend.
I know. But it's going to be a good time. We're going to Minneapolis with the my wife's families. We don't say in-laws in this crib. By the way, if you want to see...
So in-laws is worse than saying your wife's family.
The wife's side of the family. It's my family as well, but my wife's side of the family. It's easier to describe it, but, you know... It is the weird thing, right? We talk about how we don't say in-laws, and then, like, we never have still figured out that word. Like, I just got married to my wife in February, and I still haven't figured out what to call her parents, right? Like, not mom or dad, because that's weird.
Yeah.
I also don't know what to call that side of the family. Like, so I'm still struggling with that, as you can tell. If there are any hints, any clues, if you have any ideas, if y'all came up with a creative way to do so, as I'm learning what it's like to be in a union, let us know. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. What do you call the in-laws, if not the in-laws? Because, I mean, do I call them, like, bonus family?
I feel like it's a tougher question when you have kids. Or no, it's an easier question when you have kids. You call them grandma, grandpa, nana, pop-up. Like, it does it for you. You just call them that with the kids around, so you keep that title. It's harder when you don't have kids.
Yeah.
I think you just call them by their names.
Well, you know what? That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. That's
if it's your struggle and not daycare every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've seen the prices of daycare. I've been talking to my cousin, Nick, as he's trying to potty train his child. And that struggle sounds a lot more difficult than me trying to figure out what to call my wife's side of the family. But yes, I will be taking a trip as well, enjoying the holiday weekend with them. In the Midwest, they do it big for July 4th. Like, that's their holiday, because, you know, Thanksgiving is super cold. Christmas is super cold. Like, those are the typical holidays where people get together. But I feel like that's the big part, because it's good to be in the Midwest in the summertime. Like, is that also the same for, like, Northeastern cats like you?
Yeah. I mean, the unofficial middle of summer, July 4th, even July 4th in Oklahoma when I lived there for 2 years, that's the only time fireworks are legal. Mm. So not in my city limits. So we had to drive out to someone's farm, to someone's cornfield, and let it off. And a cop came one time and tried to get me, but I drove away. He didn't get me.
He didn't get you. So you got away from the cops successfully.
Yeah, he was trying to find the perpetrator of lighting off the fireworks. Yeah. Couldn't find me.
Look at that. Evasive sea cat.
I know.
This cat's got 9 lives on the prowl. I do have to get into this. The Los Angeles Lakers back in the headlines again today because, per usual, LeBron finds his way to do so, to keep us talking about him. When I saw the way that they reported the deal that he just struck, LeBron James agreeing to a 2-year, $104 million max contract. It includes a player option on the second end of it. He also gets a no-trade clause. He's the only other player, and there's only one other player in the NBA with a no-trade clause. And C-Cat, I know you're thinking, it's right on the tip of your tongue. The other guy with no-trade clause is?
Paul George. I don't know.
That was actually a pretty decent guess. I mean, similar stature in the league, but Bradley Beal.
Ah.
Bradley Beal. So you know you're doing something right or necessarily wrong if the only other franchise to grant someone a no trade clause was the Washington Wizards, giving it to Bradley Beal, and now finally LeBron James has one as well. But yes, he gets the no trade clause. He pretty much gets everything he wants. I mean, I'm wondering if he gets a part ownership in the Lakers in this deal. It also came with Bronny James, his son, getting a 4-year deal, $7.9 million, all guaranteed, the fourth year of team option, but as a second round pick, a 55th selection, it is literally an anomaly that Bronny James got that kind of a deal. And again, to me, it further illustrates the point that I made back when LeBron got his son drafted in the NBA draft. This plot for LeBron has totally shifted at this point. His priority is no longer trying to cement his legacy with championships, getting the fifth and then possibly the sixth one to tie Michael Jordan. I'm not even sure how much he cares right now today about how many games the Lakers win in this season, maximizing the amount of talent on his roster. LeBron James, it feels like right now, is cementing his legacy by flashing to us how much power he has, not just in the NBA, but with the Los Angeles Lakers franchise, which is such a historic team to run. It feels like him on the back end of his career, as he realizes it's going to be harder to be a mercenary and try to pull up to a random city as a family man who wants to take care of his kids and be with his wife and also start all of his post-career ventures in Hollywood. It feels like now he's realizing, like, part of how I can flex my muscle and show people just how great and grand my career is by taking over one of the most historic franchises. Move aside, Magic Johnson. Jerry West, you did your job. You helped build this thing, but here I am. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the captain. You were amazing in your time. And again, I love the winning time performance by Cap. One of my favorite shows I've watched as of recently. But no, it's time for the big kahuna, the king, the chosen one to step in here. And he's literally dictating everything for this Los Angeles Lakers franchise. Between getting his podcast buddy hired as the head coach, good job, his son drafted, and now getting him an unprecedented 4-year contract with the Lakers, up to $8 million fully guaranteed. LeBron James is really doing it right now. And I do think that it is a little bit of a sticky situation if you're a Lakers fan or somebody invested in this franchise. Because you have to sit back and wonder, with LeBron taking that much of the cap, and what it seems like he intentionally took the max, which is reported in here that they would be up over the second apron, which Every other NBA franchise right now is making erratic moves to make sure that they stay below the second apron, which is a certain hard cap that the NBA is newly introducing into the league to create more parity. We just watched the Los Angeles Clippers let Paul George walk to the Philadelphia 76ers because they were so afraid of the second apron. And now we're watching their in-town rivals, the Lakers, give LeBron a contract that's going to financially and transactionally strip them of a lot of what they could do, a lot of their tools. And I feel like LeBron is making sure that that's out there, that he's got the Lakers to fold over to that just to flex to us how much power he has on the way out the door. Like, and also, C-Cat, I asked this on Twitter earlier, and I'm curious to know your angle on it. Who do you think has a longer tenure, a longer stay with these Los Angeles Lakers now that LeBron has signed this contract and Bronny as well? J.J. Redick, who just got hired as the head coach. LeBron, who signed the 1+1 and can be gone as early as next year on his own volition. Or his son, Bronny James, who might hold the least amount of value to the franchise, but he has the most guaranteed contractual future with them with a 3+1 on his player deal. Like, that's out on Twitter at TheoDorseyTV. You can tweet or vote on that on Twitter. But C-Cat, I ask you, because I think the person that's going to be with the Lakers the longest is going to end up being J.J. Redick, just because of the fact that they do feel like before they made this hire that that's their new Eric Spoelstra, their new Pat Riley. They have that faith in him. But for you, C-Cat, of those three, who do you think lasts the longest over there at the Crypto.com arena?
I think it's Bronny, and I think it's going to drop like dominoes. I think you're going to have a rather underperforming year one with Redick, Bron, and Bronny, if you even count him in the equation of how the Lakers will perform next year. I think year two, they'll stumble out of the gates and then say goodbye to J.J. Redick. He's the first domino to fall.
Wow.
And then 2 years on this deal for LeBron, right? I mean, LeBron has been the exception in so many times that eventually father's time is going to sneak up on him, and I don't think LeBron James is a guy who is happy being complacent or being average when it comes to the game of basketball. LeBron's not going to be able to peter out into 19, 18 points per game, averaging average numbers for what many consider the greatest player of all time. So he's going to retire.
Man.
And then what are the Lakers going to do with LeBron James Jr.?
You think they're just going to get rid of him?
Yeah. He's not worth that spot if we don't need him to have LeBron James. He's gone third. So yeah. It goes JJ, then LeBron, then Bronny.
It's a good sequential order there. It would make sense. I don't know if they would just give him up for nothing, because I'm not sure what anybody would give up to get Bronny James at this point. He's only valuable to the Lakers because he's a cog to keep LeBron James happy and in-house. But I guess I could see it. He is he's the least consequential to what they're wanting to do, at least quote-unquote what they're supposed to be wanting to do, which is winning. You're winning if you're with EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. And we talk about this often here because in South Florida, one of the most consequential things you can have for your household, for your family, and for your own sanctity is a working air conditioning unit in your house. It's only getting hotter out here. We are on, July 3rd today, and things are only continuously heating up. You cannot play games when it comes to who is servicing your home. EDSAirConditioning.com. That's the website to go to. Hop online right now and check it out. EDS is, yes, they are a train comfort specialist, and it's hard to stop a train. Since 2006, they've been servicing Palm Beach County and the surrounding areas, and they've been doing it at the highest of levels. I'm a Gold Plan member with EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. That means I get two annual visits from a technician, and that technician comes in not just to do repairs, but preventative measures to make sure that my AC doesn't go out at the wrong time. And then that temperature starts going and climbing on your thermostat. And then when you look up, it's too late. Now you got stuff spoiling in your refrigerator, and you got your kids and your wife now dealing with problems that you could have circumvented if you got out ahead of it. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do. Get out ahead of it and get with EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. EDS is, yes, EDSAirConditioning.com. We're going to have Mike Tannenbaum join us. We hinted at the fact that, yes, I'm a fan now. I'm wrapped up in what Hard Knocks is going to be in the offseason for the New York Giants. I don't give two flying flips about what the Giants season will be like, nor do I care if this is the year for Daniel Jones. But those are the kind of things we heard, like literally the GM of the Giants profess on Hard Knocks in training camp. And for me, I think this is my type of TV. This is my type of ball. We'll see how former NFL general manager Mike Tannenbaum feels about the new Hard Knocks, and also about, is this really the year where we're going to find out what we need to know about Daniel Jones in a New York Giants uniform? Don't we already know what that is? We'll ask the expert himself on the other side. It's a Wednesday ahead of July 4th weekend. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I'm telling you right now, man, as the summer slows down, as we get into these months where you might feel like I don't have as much to tune into, Hard Knocks on HBO with the New York Giants. I never thought I'd be saying that, but that's the way to go. I love watching these NFL decision makers in their natural habitat, giving us a little pull behind the curtain action on what these major deals are, even if it's just the Giants, which doesn't move the needle for a lot of folks, even myself. But the inner workings of those deals, very intriguing. A man who has sat in those seats oftentimes, even in that same market, Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL GM for the New York Jets, joining us here on a Wednesday on Theoretically Speaking. First up, Mike T, before we get into what we found out, what we heard from Joe Shane, general manager of the New York Giants, on Daniel Jones and whatnot, I'm curious for you, man, do you have any big July 4th weekend plans? CCAT and I are traveling out of town to see family. Are you staying put, getting on the grill? What you got cooking?
I'll be getting on the set. Got a couple of days of ESPN coming up, which is always a great opportunity, and just try to be a good teammate. So when my number's called, I try to step up, and I'll be at the seaport over the next few days.
That's what I'm talking about. Beautiful view up there, and I can't wait to see what comes out of that, because you gave us gold last week with the Jordan Love takes, and I already know the content machine that is Mike T will have us debating about a lot more going on this week. So that's going to be great. Speaking of gold, I am absolutely enamored with the new Hard Knocks, the offseason Hard Knocks that is going to be focusing on the New York Giants. Episode 1 came out last night. I haven't even got a chance to actually watch it. I just have been watching the clips. I'll make sure to tap into the full episode tonight. But one thing I did see is that Joe Shane, general manager of the Giants, he kind of went into detail about Saquon Barkley and his departure, as well as saying that this is the year the Giants will be able to make a decision on Daniel Jones. Do we have that audio to play for Mike T? Let's play it, and I want to get your reaction from this as a person that used to sit in that seat.
And you're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back. My plan is address the offensive line at some point here in free agency. We're sitting at 6. There's a chance there's an offensive weapon there. This is the year for Daniel. Plan all along was give him a couple years. Is he our guy for the next 10 years, or do we need to pivot and, find somebody else?
Mike T, is this the year for Daniel, or don't we already know what we need to know about Daniel Jones as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think we have the answer. And look, we could talk about the turnovers and things like that, but his inability to stay healthy is, the much bigger issue for me. And like, the ironic thing to me is, with Saquon Barkley allowed him to stay healthier. You saw Derrick Henry go to the Ravens. You saw, ironically, Saquon going to the Eagles, and I think we're going to see a better version of Jalen Hurts, a better version of Lamar Jackson, because when you have a running game and a weapon much like you have in Saquon, it's going to make your whole offense better. Look at what McCaffrey's done, for the 49ers. So I think we have to get away from the dogma of calling it a running back, and what Saquon is a really good player, and here's a team that had to face him twice a year, every year, step up quickly and sign him.
Now, Mike T, for the Giants, then, is, if you're Joe Shane and you're saying that, and the Giants make sure that it gets out publicly, what is the purpose of that? Because I don't think he's fooling anybody. I don't think anybody thinks this is a real prove it year. Because even if Daniel Jones has solid numbers or a good winning season, like, does he really have a chance to really be the future of that franchise, or are they just pacing through to see until they can get another quarterback in there and reset the quarterback clock, as you like to say?
Yeah, it's a really fair point, Theo. You look at that NFC and you say, is that going to get you to where you want to go? I totally agree. I'm hard pressed to think that like Daniel Jones can be their quarterback in the future after this year, one way or the other.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking on a Wednesday. You're a man who has had to make a lot of tough decisions in the GM seat back when you were making decisions for both the Jets and the Dolphins at certain points in your career. I'm curious because another thing we saw that came out on the Giants' Hard Knocks for the summer was we saw Joe Shane and general manager of the Carolina Panthers, Dan Morgan, striking a deal on the sideline of the Senior Bowl, and it was the deal that became Brian Burns going to the Giants for a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick. When I watched that casual conversation play out and I saw it get sparked, I was curious. Obviously, we know deals get struck at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine because that's when everybody's together. For you as a former GM, what was the most awkward or random place that a negotiation for a trade has started for you?
Well, you know, I actually put the Roscoe Diner in upstate New York on the map because we did a lot of Darrell Reeves' contract negotiations for his holdout, ironically also on Hard Knocks. So I would say for me, the Roscoe Diner.
Did they look out for you a little bit, man? Because I know with Revis, when you're getting Revis Island back in New York and you're signing that paper there, I feel like Jets fans probably flocked it with good business. Kind of like how with the whole, what was that? That place that Drake and Kendrick Lamar made big in Toronto, the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, at least you should get like an omelet named after me or something, right?
We're going to have to get on the phone with them and get that happening. Let's see if we can get that, C-Cat. An omelet named after Mike T at the, what was it again, the Roscoe Diner?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, the Roscoe Diner out of New York. That's going to be impeccable right there. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, the one famed from kicking it at Roscoe's Diner with Revis Island. I saw something from Mark Schlereth today. Everybody's got a podcast. Apparently Mark Schlereth has one as well. And I saw him criticizing Lamar Jackson for not developing the first round receivers that Baltimore Ravens have gotten in the house for Lamar Jackson. And I'm curious for you, how much of a piece of the pie, how much of the puzzle is it on the quarterback to help develop these receivers that teams pick and bring into the room? And do you feel like that's something that Lamar Jackson has been deficient in? Is that something that they need him to do more instead of us looking and pointing at these guys and saying they're not good enough?
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. Look, the quarterback gets, you know, the success, he gets the blame. You know, he's an active participant in all skill players. And, you know, Coach Parcells used to say the job description of a quarterback deal is to get your team in the end zone. So however way you do that. So it is a fair point. Now, there's a lot of other variables that go into it. How hard did they work? How much do they know their playbook? You know, there's a lot of other variables, but it's a really interesting discussion to say, like, if, you know, look, Lamar Jackson's, you know, a much better player than he was 2-3 years ago. That's one of the things you like about him, how hard he works. Would that outcome have been different? We'll never know, but it's a really interesting discussion.
Mike T, we heard Chris Canty on Unsportsmanlike, what you hear here on 6 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 106.3. We heard him say that if Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs can find a way to three-peat this year, his resume, him doing that will make him surpass Tom Brady in the GOAT conversation. You've had to make machinations of a team year after year. You know how tough it is to be able to rebuild around a team that's trying to contend for a Super Bowl. Would that be more impressive? Would that, a fourth Super Bowl and a third one in a row with the Chiefs, really be enough to lift Patrick Mahomes' legacy over what we saw Tom Brady do with seven over a span of 20-plus years?
I don't think so. And look, we can love Patrick Mahomes and all the great things he's done for you, but like, you know, seven championships is way better than three, and there's nothing wrong with what Mahomes has done. So there may be a time and a place, but we are many, many Super Bowls away from that discussion.
That is something that everybody it feels like there's an anticipation for Mahomes to surpass Brady because it looks cooler when he does it, and it feels like the talent is a different thing than what we saw with Tom Brady. And again, I will say, as I'm wearing this Kansas City Chiefs shirt, and I'm hoping that it does happen, I would love to see a three-peat and start having that debate, but it does feel a little early to say he's going to pass them legacy-wise. Mike T joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, talking some football, talking some 4th of July plans. Also, I'm curious to you, I saw an article on ESPN. A writer, Aaron Schatz, wrote it. He ranked the top under 25 talent in the NFL right now. Which NFL rosters have the top young talent in the league? And I saw that the Texans, for the second straight year, came in at number one. When you see a team like that that has a young quarterback going into his second year, also a lot of great young talent around him, and Will Anderson and Tank Dell and Jalen Petrie, Derek Stingley Jr., like, does that feel like the roster or the team that's not getting enough headlines right now because of what they could be over the next 3 or 4 years?
I think so, and it all starts with the quarterback. You know, I think Petrie's a really interesting player. There's some of their complementary parts, but yeah, if this quarterback, C.J. Stroud, has a year anywhere close to what he's had in the past, they're really going to be hard to beat. I mean, he's outplayed Trevor Lawrence just based not on expectations, but actually how they've played in the game. So I think it's, you know, a really interesting team to follow, and they do deserve a ton of credit.
Gotcha. And then one last thing, Mike T, I'm curious to you because I feel like I'm just falling in love with the fact that we get this off season Hard Knocks on HBO going forward. Which Hard Knocks version is most intriguing to you? The in-season version they're giving you? Obviously, the one that's most traditional is the preseason. Or are you kind of inclined to watch what some of these decision makers are doing in their war rooms during the offseason?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like what's going on now. Like, the decisions, and I think it takes people behind the curtains, and I think the intrigue is super interesting, you know, for a lot of the reasons you already stated, Theo, and I think, you know, hardcore fans are certainly going to enjoy it.
Gotta love that. We'll be enjoying that as well as we'll enjoy you this week on ESPN out there at the Seaport Studios. Get a good view of the water, man. I love when we go up there, you see the Brooklyn Bridge. It's a nice time. It's good vibes. And also, once you soak all of that up, give us something to talk about. You know how to do it.
All right. Thanks so much, Theo.
All right, Mike T. Appreciate you pulling up on us on Theoretically Speaking. That's Mike Tannenbaum, NFL insider for ESPN, as well as former general manager of the Jets and former VP of the Dolphins, pulling up on us. And he's going to be pulling up on y'all with some good takes. I can't wait to see what they say about the Jordan Love take. I still am a big fan of that. Jordan Love being the next guy up behind Mahomes in the NFL. That means that we have something cooking out of the NFC, and Mike Tannenbaum always joins us courtesy of Eisner Amper. C-Cat, this is the time of year where anything can become a headline, a random podcast, a player yapping off at the mouth, or even a rookie in the NBA being asked his Mount Rushmore. That was the latest thing that got to me that we're going to address here after the break. But first, I want to tell you all about Discover the Palm Beaches and how you can win some awesome prizes. And all it takes is doing something that you were going to do anyways. You take a selfie, you take a picture, you take a video at one of your favorite places. Maybe it's your park that you grew up at in Palm Beach County. Maybe it's your favorite restaurant. Heck, it could even be a hangout spot. You just go there, you take a picture of yourself having a good time, showing off how wonderful it is to be here in Palm Beach County, and you hashtag it, Love the Palm Beaches. Hashtag Love the Palm Beaches. Palm Beach County residents know how great it is to be here in paradise, and all summer long, Discover the Palm Beaches is going to be giving away monthly prizes to residents who invite loved ones to pull up and visit by using the hashtag LoveThePalmBeaches on social media. Once you post that post with hashtag LoveThePalmBeaches, you hop online, you go to lovethepalmbeaches.com/love, and then you're in. You have an option, an opportunity to win some big things. I'm talking vacations. I'm talking dining cards and everything in between. Again, hashtag Love the Palm Beaches on social media, and you could be a winner. Well, you're already a winner if you live here in Palm Beach County, but you could be a double winner, a double whammy going into Independence Day weekend. C-Cat, I know you, as a Baltimore Ravens fan, probably get sick of all the discourse back and forth on Lamar Jackson. Do you feel like your guy has done enough for those first-round receivers? Zay Flowers looked really good last year. I don't know how well Rashad Bateman's going to turn out because of all the injuries, but seems like they're getting their chemistry together. Like, how sufficient do you feel with your quarterback?
Lamar Jackson had one pivotal moment where if he showed up and showed out that he would shut everybody up and we would never have a conversation like this again.
Yeah.
That was last year's AFC Championship game. He played like absolute dog crap. Now he has to live with being the focal point of conversations about a quarterback who might not be ready to take a team to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl. So he made his bet. He's got to lay in it.
Could be worse. He could be Joe Burrow, and he's always injured and not making it back since getting to the Super Bowl. I would be grateful that you guys have a guy that got two MVPs I feel like that always gets lost in the discussion with Lamar Jackson. It has to count for something.
You don't get rings for MVPs, Theo.
You don't get rings for MVPs. You also don't get MVPs for sitting out the back end of the season with another injury. We're going to get to the get around next. I'm trying to support your guy, Lamar Jackson, even after my team's secondary cooked him in that AFC championship game. We'll get to the get around next. We'll discuss specifically a Mount Rushmore that an NBA rookie gave out that I'm still perplexed by. And of course, today, with it being our final show of the week, we got to give you a take it to the house this weekend. This one centered around the Miami Heat's offseason, so you're not going to want to miss that. But before we go, I do want to say Duffy Sports Grill, as we know, once again voted the best sports grill in Florida with their award-winning burgers and wings. You already know that the dog days of summer are where you can get those Vienna beef hot dogs. You got all those different styles and flavors of it. Might I suggest the death dog with the death sauce, right? Like, we talk about what tomorrow is on Independence Day. I don't think you could fit five death dogs in one hand, maybe two, maybe three. But you get those things in your hands, you get the grub in, and you're going to be having a good time. And you know what? Every Duffy Sports Grill, two-for-one drinks all day, every day. With their award-winning burgers and award-winning wings, it's the place to go. It's the place to be. You can watch the big-time eating contest at Duffy Sports Grill. Maybe you're watching that and eating yourself. Having a little contest with them from your seat, and the two-for-one drinks help you wash it all down. That's what you can do at Duffy Sports Grill. Duffy'sMVP.com. Pull up, sign up, become a rewards member today, be an MVP like me, and you can start tracking those rewards on your way to an MVP. Like Lamar Jackson, too. Duffy's, our game is always on. The Get Around is next. C-Cat, I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I'm not old, but my body does start to feel old. I still have this thumb problem from when I was hooping with Perseverance Basketball a couple weeks ago. It ain't joint pain, though. And if you are experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field, Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. We talked a little Mahomes, a little Brady, and the goat chase with Mike Tannenbaum. If you missed that, you can catch us wherever you get your podcast, Theoretically Speaking, or watch us back on YouTube at Theo Speaking. And Kevin, jumping on the Baptist Health hotline, wants to chime in on the Mahomes-Brady GOAT debate. He's in Stewart. He's on Theoretically Speaking. Kevin, how you doing this week?
I'm good, sir. How about yourself?
I am doing well. I mean, we keep hearing about how Patrick Mahomes, if he can complete something that's never been done in the NFL before, three straight Super Bowls, eight teams have tried, all eight have failed, that could be the thing that propels him past Tom Brady while he's still active in the league. Kevin, I'm assuming you do not think that's enough for Mahomes to surpass Sir Brady.
Not yet.
Why not?
Because at the very end of his career, we'll see everything that has happened, but it's still not done yet. He's got, like, it hasn't happened yet, but we're talking about it right now. And it's not like we weren't, I'm actually, this is a little before my time, but I don't think people were saying MJ was the greatest of all time. It was still probably Wilt or Bill Russell after he won three. It wasn't until after six that everybody said, oh, Jordan is the greatest of all time.
Right.
And I just think it's just a little bit jumping the gun. Don't get me wrong. I think greatest of playing right now is Patrick Mahomes by far. Like, if you had a fantasy draft and so-and-so took number one as the number two team in the draft, I would maybe be like, yeah, I'm willing to give up, like, the next three picks that I have just to get Mahomes and the number two spot. Like, when I could get the next best quarterback, I'm going to trade everything I have to get Mahomes. Like, he is for sure the best, like, playing the game right now by far and by so much.
And he's you're right about that, and I appreciate the call, Kevin. I think the problem is in 2024, like, you don't, like, who's waiting? We don't got time to wait. It's the summertime. It is July 3rd. There's no games going on. We need to make declarative statements. It's not like we said it with Mahomes walking off of the dais after he won the third Super Bowl. We're running out of stuff to talk about. But when you do think about the fact that Mahomes can make history here, and that when you think about Brady's run, though he felt so dominant through that era, though they were always there at the end, Mahomes has felt way more inevitable when it comes to actually winning playoff games and winning championships. Like, this past run, it felt so much greater because it was, oh, the Chiefs can't win this year. His wide receivers suck. And then he gets into the playoffs. And then there's the blowout of the Dolphins in the first round of the playoffs. In the second round, it was supposed to be over with. The Bills were supposed to have him. It was at Orchard Park. It was cold. It was the Bills' year. And Patrick Mahomes finds a way in that game. And then we just talked about what happened to C-Cat, to your Ravens on the road against Baltimore. This looked like the most dominant Ravens year that we've seen since that Super Bowl win behind the great defense with Ray Lewis. And that went the way it did. And then they beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. And it's like, wow, even in a down year, 2 years after losing Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce being more enamored with a pop star than he is with popping helmets and blocking on the edge for the Chiefs, they still won a Super Bowl, and they're bringing everybody back, plus some speedy receivers, plus another year of experience.
I think it's fair to say slow your roll, because you don't say this is and was the greatest movie of all time when you have watched the first half of it. You got to wait till the movie's over, and then you can make that statement. Maybe you can say this is the best experience watching a movie I've ever had in the middle of Dune 2, because I felt that way. I was watching Dune 2 in IMAX, and I felt that before I saw the ending of that great movie.
Yeah.
But you can't say it is the definitive greatest of all time before it's over. Even if he wins a third, I think you still got to see how the rest of his career goes, because sustained greatness is worth part of the conversation. That, like, winning those three different dynasties you feel like Tom Brady had, three different Hall of Fame careers, if you actually look at the numbers, I think it's worth the conversation that sustained greatness greater than the small peak that's never been achieved.
I will say, though, if three Super Bowls in a row would feel like one of the more unrepeatable things in sports that I can think of right now, and especially in the NFL with how much parity it is, with how much shorter guys' shelf life is to go out and get a major contract. So if you're a key player, you're going to want to go get your bag in free agency. You're going to get unhappy. The injury luck that it takes, like, it's a bigger uphill climb than people think. So it will be a big check in the box. What I will say, too, if Mahomes can get three in a row, it almost counts for like an extra Lombardi trophy. Like, he won't have to reach seven if he can get a three-peat.
It's like bowling. You get three strikes in a row.
Turkey,
you get more points. I like that.
Boom. That's the real thing there. It's like, if you get three in a row, it's a bump for you. Just like if LeBron can win a championship somehow with his son, which, by the way this roster is constructed and the way that the West is looking right now, seemingly impossible. You know what? What isn't impossible?
What?
To have a good time on a holiday weekend. And it's always great to reflect on the great things that happened prior to your holiday weekend, which is why we turn to what we are now.
Time now for the coolest moment of the week, presented by EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. EDS is yes.
I take you to the Panthers Parade, the 2024 Stanley Cup champions. Not a shoey, and not them dunsing fans with beer from the second floor of the elbow room, but a live TV moment that's going to live in history.
All right, we got some people from Alabama, of course, up and down Florida. The fans are happy.
Let's just say Matthew Tkachuk is a baller.
Oh, okay. This is live TV. We don't need the custom.
Shout out to Alexis Frazier at WPLG. Shout out to the fan who's probably had one or two too many shoeies. And shout out Matthew Tkachuk. He's going to be coming back with those defending champs. Hopefully they go on another championship run. And we have more celebrations that I can either criticize or commend. That's your EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing coolest moment of the week.
I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round, round and round. I get around.
Time to get around, hopping on that vehicle, that bus, that thing that keeps us a-churning all around the nation as we hit the biggest sports headlines from coast to coast, sometimes even all across the globe. Where are we going first?
Next stop.
Right down I-95 to Miami, Florida.
Love it there.
First round pick for the Miami Heat, Khalil Ware, gave his NBA Mount Rushmore. Hear me out here.
Okay.
Wilt Chamberlain. Hmm. Makes sense.
It's pretty good.
Kobe Bryant.
All right.
It gets wonky. Anthony Edwards and Bam Adebayo.
What do you stand on? Like, what do you stand for? I've heard bad Mount Rushmores. I've heard bad lists. Last year we had Brandon Miller for the Charlotte Hornets say that Paul George is his GOAT, which now maybe he was talking about his GOAT of podcasting for Podcast P. But this is just an erratic Mount Rushmore. Wilt Chamberlain, yes. Kobe Bryant, of course. Even Bam Adebayo, I can see you giving a nod to the guy that you're going to be playing alongside. You want to show some love to a guy that is one of the best defenders in the league. But how the hell do you get off saying Anthony Edwards, a current player in the league, a dude that's 4 or 5 years older than you at most, is on your Mount Rushmore? Like, that's some serious... I can't even say what that is. That's disgusting. I was going to say something that might have got me in trouble.
Cosign.
Next stop.
Phoenix, Arizona.
I don't want to get fired on a day right before we go enjoy our July 4th weekend, but he had me that mad.
Get the phone call at the barbecue.
Yeah.
Hey, got a minute? Got a minute, Theo?
No, just let me finish this third glizzy, man. I'm hungry.
All-Star weekend in Phoenix, Arizona. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark become the first pair of rookies to be named to the WNBA All-Star game since 2014.
So I'm thinking about actually pulling up on this All-Star game.
Yeah?
I think about pulling up. See, it's a lot of circumstantial things. I have a brother who is living in Phoenix right now. My mom is actually doing a stint for work in Phoenix. So I got family in Phoenix I can pull up on to see this. But also, we are really living through the Bird Magic era of the WNBA, whether you like it or not. Like, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are that. They are the Bird Magic of the WNBA with the headlines surrounding it. They don't have the team success that those guys were going to have early on because they're not on the Lakers and the Celtics of that league. But that's a rivalry that's going to drive numbers, and it's historic because it's the first time we'll see them play together. The moment where Angel Reese catches a pass from Caitlin Clark and scores a bucket, that's going to be a transcendent moment in that league. 30 years from now, we might be talking about that, and I might want to be in the arena for that. So shout out WNBA, getting them on the All-Star roster, getting them in the league. They're doing the right things for the sports to drive the needles, to drive the numbers. And also, you know, just big fan of the sky, man. Looking good out there.
Next stop.
Quick stop in Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey,
Jaylen Brown lost a ring at the championship parade. The fan who found it returned it to him for a signed ball, a signed jersey, and courtside tickets to opening night. In 30 seconds or less, can you tell me if that was a fair trade?
Absolutely a fair trade. You get to meet a player who's the best player on the Boston Celtics in Jaylen Brown. You get to dab him up, you give him his ring back, you got the moment on camera, plus courtside seats to actual ring night. Like, now you can make a little content out of this. Like, you are potentially like a little bit of an influencer amongst Celtics fans. And you aren't going to get much money for that little juice ring. It wasn't like it was a big deal.
Next stop.
Right down the road to flagship campus, Kaiser University.
Shout out my guy, Miles Russ, man. I'm going to be seeing him speak in a little over a week at the Team Elam Coaches Clinic. That's going to be next Friday. He's the coach of the Kaiser Seahawks football team, the reigning champions in the NAIA. And Kaiser University is no foreign squad to championships. They got 22. Deuce, count all of them. 22 national championships amongst their programs at Kaiser University at the flagship campus, including back-to-back championships in men's lacrosse, 3 straight in NAIA women's swimming and diving. And like I said, the 2013 champions of the gridiron, the Kaiser Seahawks football team. For the latest on Kaiser Seahawks athletics, KUSeahawks.com. Right around the corner, we take you home with not just the big Heat signings of the day, the Miami Heat striking big deals, but also the signing that won't happen. We take it to the house on Theoretically Speaking next.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Joint pain affecting your quality of life. At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. It is our final show of the week. We're going to be missing you on Thursday and Friday, which means we got to take it to the house for the weekend a little bit early. Our first time doing it on a Wednesday. Time to take it to the house. We take it to the house today, and if you know what the house is, well, it's a restaurant at the park. It's right here in West Palm Beach. It is amazing. It is one of the best places to go to dine, but also, you know, if you buy an entree at the house, West Palm Beach, you actually get yourself a free round of golf at the Lit Nine at the park. So you get a meal, and you also get a little bit of golfing in. And it is very fun to do them consecutively, or you can just save it for another time. But what I will tell you is the food at the house, amazing. Last time I pulled up with my lady, she got the steak. I pulled up. I said, you know what? I'm going to try something different. Trio of Florida Snapper.
Whoa.
It's not a lot of good places you can get seafood out here in West Palm Beach. The house, the spot to go, and the snapper was amazing. It was like there were three different literal flavors. It felt like all three were their own very experience. Such good attention to detail there. And I always say the best way to be able to judge a restaurant is by their fries. They don't shortchange you on the fries. Amazing fries there as well. Just a great overall ambiance overlooking the 18-hole golf course at the park. The House West Palm Beach, thehousewestpalm.com to make your reservations for this weekend. C-Cat, take this to the house this weekend. Miami Heat fans are excited. They think that they have a chance at DeMar DeRozan. Apparently, there's reports that they're favorites to land him, just like they were reportedly favorites to get Donovan Mitchell, Kevin Durant at one point, James Harden, Trae Young, all of these superstars. I'm going to take this to the house, Heat fans. You are a clown if you think DeMar DeRozan is coming to Biscayne Boulevard. It ain't happening. Get your hopes out the way. We're running this thing back with Jimmy Bam and Tyler Hero, and they're going to miss the play-in most likely because that's how undesirable it feels right now to be a Miami Heat fan in the East. C-Cat, you got something to take to the house?
Tomorrow, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. No chestnut, no problem. Patrick Bertoletti on Hard Rock Bet. He's plus 700 to win the whole dang thing.
Wow.
And win the whole dang thing, he's going to do. Patrick Bertoletti.
Shout out Patrick Bertoletti. And I'll shout out the Heat for doing nothing. I'm going to Minnesota tomorrow.
Bring your ass.
So have a good one. Peace.